3. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
This is the Alternative Media, exposing government corruption, defending our suspended constitution, demanding the rights of we the people, broadcasting the truth the puppet media dare not report. Long live liberty and death to the New World Order. Prepare yourself. This is the Alternative Media.
And we're back, folks, for hour two of the Alternative Media. Richard Carey filling in as guest host for Farron Schoaf, who is on hiatus. And I have with me guest co-hosts here, Patrick Slattery, Mike Sledge, and Stephen Douglas Whitener. And this is Saturday, the 15th of May, 2021. And, well, we were just talking about socially engineered color revolution, well, not color revolution, maybe literally, but racial replacement agendas that could exist clearly seem to be occurring here. I was just commenting to Mike on potential for a future engineered South African style U.S., and you say it could be much worse, Michael. Just before that, thought has continued. I mean, more from this example from the AMA, to put it in context. Here, they say the commonly held narrative of meritocracy is the idea that people are successful purely because of their individual effort. It states, medical education has largely been based on such flawed meritocratic ideals. And it will take intentional focus and effort to recognize, review, and revise this deeply flawed interpretation. Instead, the AMA suggests medical schools should incorporate into their programs critical race theory, an offshoot of Marxism that views society through the lens of a power struggle between the race of oppressors and that of the oppressed. As a result, according to the theory, all long-established institutions of Western society are considered to be tools of racial oppression. So, I mean, they're straight out already taking that sort of stance in the words they're using, Mike. But please continue.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think it could be worse here. I had a friend that lived in South Africa for a while, as you know, and you do too, Richard. a lot of insight that I learned from that individual. But look, the surveillance state that we have in the United States is out of control. And I think when you take the racial problem that we have in this country and mix that with the surveillance state that we have, I think it makes it a more dangerous situation for white people here than in South Africa. South Africa doesn't have the technology and the surveillance that that we have here. And they are using these third world populations that are bringing into this country as proxy forces to be used against us. Remember, their goal, their main goal is completely the anti-white agenda, is the white genocide agenda. Their goal is to either mix us out or let us die off through low birth rates. So they have all these proxies that they brought in, whether it's Africans being brought over or mestizos being brought over the border, or just the black community itself being radicalized. They have their street army. They have Antifa. They have all Black Lives Matter. They have their proxy armies, the street forces that the state controls that are being put against us. And when you mix that with the surveillance, I think we have a far more explosive situation in the near future here in the United States than in South Africa, Richard. The control will be a lot more, evolved.
Patrick, Stephen, who'd like to comment?
Well, I think you're right that this could devolve into something akin to the Balkans and Rwanda. You know, it could become very violent. But most people in the street that I talk to, I guess they're there, but I have been lucky enough not to run across people that are so anti-white and hate whitey, you know, but they're there, you know, and the media pumps them up. They want this this racial holy war to take place here. And it's definitely on the agenda. I hope that it won't happen, but it could. Yeah. I don't know how to prevent that. I mean, we got to have allies of other races. There are other people in this country who are not white who definitely would be harmed by such a thing. I mean, just the whole when elephants wrestle, the grass gets trampled kind of thing. It's like they're going to be hurt by that. And a lot of people already do see that. You can see what they've done to the black community since the 60s. And a lot of black people have, realized what's happening with the social engineering and the way that their community has been destroyed over the past 50 years. And you know, we need to have allies like that. I believe that I don't think that we're going to be they're going to be enough of us to stand against this alone as far as white people that they definitely want to, as you said, breed us out or exterminate us in one way or the other. And ultimately, it's not just anti-white, but it's anti-human agenda with these people, because they're going to start with us. But, you know, that's not where they're going to finish if they get their way. And, well,
these shots, they've already started
exactly.
With wiping out people of all races at the same time. Of course, you have to wonder in some cases. I mean, a lot of people are skeptical if it was a placebo given to some or the majority of the Israeli population. Like, you know, would those in power really allow their most precious concentration of stock of the chosen people to receive such experimental, unpredictable gene tampering? And I can't say that I mean, it sounds maybe a little kooky to those who haven't researched just how high of regard these people are placed from so many of those in higher echelons of power. But in general, there's definitely a situation where right now there's more propaganda. I mean, most people, especially away from the liberal big cities, whites and other races aren't ready to put knives to each other's throats. Certainly the white populations would be largely responding. But at the same time, it, in the future, with all this critical race theory already being taught, you could see.
You could see
an accelerated devolution toward just a powder keg with what they're teaching in the schools now. Go ahead, Stephen.
You pointed out a couple of weeks ago how Russia and Putin had decided they were going to end their involvement with the International Space Station. What was it, 2025? And I think that it's directly related to this thing like that the AMA is doing away with meritocracy. I believe that they see that down the line, you know, our military, our institutions, all of that, if they completely do away with that, it's just going to be much worse than it is now. Any lead that we have in technology and militarily will evaporate if they do away with meritocracy and they keep pushing this social justice agenda. That's just it's a recipe for the destruction of the U.S. and to do away with our, you know, with the dollar. I think that all of those things are pointed in that direction and they've been working in that regard since Obama. That's kind of when it started, right at the end of the Bush administration, where they purged the military of people who were patriotic after the Benghazi thing, and anybody who had wanted to go and rescue those contractors, well, you know, they ended up being fired for gambling or just anything. There was a whole list of offenses that people were kicked out of the military over about that time. And so, and now the end result of that is that we are where we are now. Yeah. You know, the Navy can't get out of the way of slow moving cargo ships in the Pacific or whatever. It just doesn't look good. I agree that things are going to get worse.
Yeah. So I did certainly see that as relevant. I mean, possibly one of the factors Putin was considering. And when he looks at the West and their standards degrading from any sort of meritocracy. Patrick and I just did a show that aired Thursday on National Bugle Radio, which airs on RBN 1 p.m. Central, Monday through Friday, folks, by the way, covering a lot of great campus reform articles on just every topic, you know, in the math, science, literature and grammar, writing skills, theater, in everything, how meritocracy is getting thrown out the window, like affirmative action in overdrive as far as not being cast, for example, if you're white. And we look at the social engineering and all the commercials, media around us. So, yeah, no, it is a real concern that I think a lot of other countries, have, like, you know, non-white populations, they look at this. And I guess in Europe, they're doing the same thing of getting rid of meritocracy in academia. So it's it's a crazy mixture with everything they're doing, gene tampering and things like this. Patrick, I haven't heard from you. If you wanted to comment more on some of this.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's crazy. There's a word that the left likes to use, which is sustainability. And you could ask, is this type of thing sustainable, right? Because on the one hand, it's effective in marginalizing white people. On the other hand, you know, when you abandon meritocracy, when you say that, oh, well, math is racist because it requires just a single correct answer, are you going to be able to build bridges that stand up, right? So there's a great deal of, I guess it's kind of like chemotherapy in a way, you know, chemotherapy, which attacks the whole body. The idea is hopefully you're going to kill the cancer before you kill the rest of the body. I don't know if this is a great metaphor, but what they're doing is they're trying to hopefully kill the white people without killing the parts of society that give them strength. And I don't know if it's doable. You know, because in destroying American society, ultimately they're destroying the goose that lays the golden egg. So we'll see. I don't know.
Mike, do you want to touch on this topic?
Yeah, I think anytime you see communism, which is basically Judaism put into political form, take over a nation, the first thing they do is purge the intellectual class. And they purge, I mean, this happened in Mao's revolution. You can see communism as it spread through Southeast Asia. You saw the same deal where you wage war against the intellectuals, because ultimately you want a population that is just has enough sense to do their job, just has enough common sense to be a good worker bee in their system. But the dumbing down is what they're doing here. That, you know, it's been going on for a long time, going back to Common Core, as I used to call it, Communist Core, in education. The dumbing down has been taking place for a long, long time. But ultimately, it is a war against our best and brightest, because they see that as a threat to their power down the road. And that's all. It happened in Russia with the Bolshevik Revolution. The intellectuals were immediately attacked, and it's always that way with Jewish communism.
Stephen, did you want to get in on this discussion, this topic?
Yes, I can see that happening. I mean, they did the same thing in Cambodia with the Khmer Rouge when they came in and took over. Anybody who had a pair of glasses, they would kill them, because they assumed that they had the ability to read and think for themselves. I mean, that was one of the things that stood out to me, that they would go, people would hide their eyeglasses, because if they had eyeglasses, they would immediately be killed. They were looked on as somebody, you know, as a potential, you know, troublemaker. And that's happening here. I agree. That's their goal. And as Mike pointed out earlier, along with the surveillance state that we have now, that could be a lot worse than it was then. And that's about all I can think for to go along with those. But I don't know what to do about it. You know, what do you guys think we should? What is a strategy that we can use to try to fight back? It's just it's very frustrating.
Yeah, I know it is, because I mean, a lot of us can complain at Tucker for, you know, not even using the word white and this and that. But then we see how everything is aligning right now to be primed to document and make examples of anything and exaggerate anything they can with very serious results in a lot of cases. So obviously when, you know, if there's a death involved, but even for a lot lesser things. And it's amazing how much the hoaxes can last in people's memories where they don't even hear the retractions most of the time.
The race car driver,
which one was that? His name?
Bubba. Yeah, Bubba Lewis, or Bubba something.
And I just saw one of just like a little note written on a campus. They checked out the footage and found it was this black student who was intentionally doing it. But then, the tweets from the college, they're still going to investigate the hate crimes. They didn't identify the color of the person who did it. Made it sound like it really happened.
Uh-huh. Even an Air Force general told his students to go out and, you know, spray paint racial slurs. Mm-hmm. To raise awareness was the excuse. I mean, we are such a racist and evil country here that we have to manufacture our own hate crimes and fake them. That's how bad it is here. You know, I think that if they continue down this path, then you know, eventually we will be at each other's throat if they keep this up. But you know, at the moment, no, it's manufactured. I agree that the media is pushing all this and creating it. And anytime, and they pick the worst possible cases, be their, I don't know what to call it, their standard or the one that they come out against, like Michael Brown, who they called him a gentle giant. He was just a scumbag, just a criminal thug, but hands up, don't shoot. It was a complete lie, and it was easy to find out it was a lie, and they picked cases like that. I could go on and on and name them. Chauvin killed, George Floyd, you know, just all of these cases that they pick, they are ones that, well, the black people, they've got to stand up with their black people, you know, they've got to have this solidarity with them. So they're going to ignore the facts, a lot of them, and just, you know, go with that. And then you can see how it's a crock to start with. So it just is a recipe, a dialectic, if you will, of more chaos, and to repeat the cycle over and over again, pushing us down that Overton window. It's just, and when they have the power of the media, I don't know. I mean, what can we do about it? That's right. The question.
We've had some people who've taken, even in much more tolerant times, as far as people being pro-white. George Lincoln Rockwell, he was bold and kind of going in excess with a bit of imagery to be very forward in his retaliation to what he saw on the horizon. But then look how that resulted. I mean, he was killed. So
yep.
So I mean, as far as the Tucker paradox, you know, I mean, you know, you have, I mean, what for a strategy? I don't, Mike, what would you respond to? I mean, at the point we are now in 2021, we're just waiting to make an example of anything.
I'm actually pessimistic. let me say this. You're living in the last days of American empire, okay? This system is collapsing, and I can guarantee you that it is rapidly falling apart. We see it falling apart. I mean, you know, the dumbing down the population, the racial mixing of the country. It has no cohesive traditions or beliefs. It's a country in collapse. And I say We let it collapse, and then there's going to be a rebuilding. And whatever that's going to look like, I'm not quite sure now, but I hear the music, so.
Yeah, we'll take that break, and we'll be right back. Stick around, folks.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
And we're back, folks, here on RBN, the alternative media. Guest host, Richard Carey, filling in for Farron Shoaff. And I have with me as co-hosts Patrick Slattery, Mike Sledge, and Stephen Douglas Whitener. And, well, Patrick, I don't know if you see that as a good way to put it, the Tucker paradox. But yeah, I mean, at this point, what sort of strategy, are we to take? I think people like yourself choose a good stance in defending, the European peoples, our traditions, and our right to preserve our people, our race, and our culture as much as anyone else. And I don't think that's over the top, but more and more, we're getting singled out. If some have their way to be removed from the internet completely, they'd love to have digital implants whenever you log on to any IP, and of course, There'd only be certain exceptions where people would have rogue ways of getting on, just like the vaccine, the shot. Digital passports will have some fraud. But no, I mean, even on our show, on your show that I joined you with on Thursday, I mean, there was some constructive criticism in the chat room. I thought we were being, you know, pretty moderate to most anyone who might be listening out there. But I don't know. It was suggested we were playing down African history and the achievements of Africans in world history. And then there was a lot more detail that the person in the chat mentioned on that. But I mean, there is a lot in debate, I suppose, especially if you look at the pyramid builders and the Egyptian empire. And there's a lot of contention, really, on the genetic lineages. Actually, I know Mike has done a lot of research in that as well, like, you know, disputing the whole out of Africa theory. And I know you've read and looked into a similar, Patrick. But I don't know. I think that we are we're not going too far. But I still think they would want to completely censor even the stance that we take, which is clearly far more bold than someone like Tucker. I don't know, who would
Oh my gosh, am I here?
Yeah, you're here.
Sorry about that.
Oh, okay.
I guess that was my cue, and I was having I was three or four clicks away from the mute button. Well, you know, first of all, like the pyramid builders, that they weren't sub-Saharan Africans. Africa is the second biggest continent on Earth, and yet to say the pyramids are in one corner of Africa, and the people who are the ancestors of Black Americans are from many thousands of miles away and on the other side of the Sahara Desert. So it's, you know, I mean, that doesn't mean much. But regarding what you were talking about a little earlier, I guess before the break, whether there's a way forward, I think there's a very clear way forward. I think people can be very pessimistic about and frustrated with when there's such a clear way forward that it doesn't happen and it may never happen. But, you know, we, like the white people in particular, 60% of the population, they're the most productive segment of the population. And we completely have it within our means to, through boycotts, through various civil disobedience, like everybody taking off their masks or whatever, of bringing down corporations, like targeting corporations that are acting against our interests, targeting them, bringing them down. We could totally do it if we had some leadership. Of course, you know, look at what's happening with just what, you know, we were talking about earlier in the program, the increased unrest in the Middle East, and all of the so-called, you know, conservative white leaders, political leaders, to a person, standing up and saying how we must, you know, Joe Biden's not doing enough for Israel. So that's not, those aren't leaders. So we don't have leaders. And Tucker, like him or not, and I'm on both sides, he's the closest thing right now that we have to a leader. I mean, we had Donald Trump for a while. I don't know if Donald Trump is a factor, but he's never really been a leader. He's been a factor. He's been an asset, maybe somebody worth an asset worth fighting over, but he had very little leadership potential. Tucker might have some leadership potential, but whether he'd be a good, you know, some of the shows I watch, and I'm excited that he talks about certain issues, and other times I'm really angry.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I can relate. Oh, that's a good point to take the bottom of the hour and stick around, folks. We'll be right back. We'll take calls. Want to call in the remaining segments.
truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Back, folks. The alternative media. Richard Carey filling in for Farron Schoaf. Here with Patrick Slattery, Mike Sledge, and Stephen Douglas Whitener. Let's go to the phones. We have Bob in Washington. Hello, Bob. You're on the air, sir.
Okay, I've got the thing playing in the background. I got to shut that down.
Okay.
Just in case it comes through. There we go. Now, am I coming through okay?
Loud and clear, sir.
All right. Say, a rhetorical question. The Jews have won or very close to winning, and maybe as far as we're concerned, it's like a Malay monkey trap that they can't let go the right way. But I have a rhetorical question, and I think it's a good one. How did they gain this power? What method did they use? What primary method did they use?
Oh, that's... I'm gonna pass that over to one of you gentlemen. To Patrick, would you like
deception.
To? Mike, okay.
Yeah, I agree. Infiltration and deception. That's what they've always done. That's their rule by deception and infiltration. That is their history, and that's how they've done it. through infiltrating governments and intermarrying into elite bloodline families and taking it over that way. They started with the banking institutions, and then it spread out from there into all the bureaucracies. Our State Department's completely controlled by them at this point. I'd say every department in this, basically in the American bureaucracy, is controlled by them, and they did it through deception and infiltration. Totally agree.
Well, let me just carry that a little forward, a little more broadly. What basic methodologies underlie their infiltration? And like I say, it's a rhetorical question. I'm getting to the point. They use psychology and religion. Now, infiltration, you nailed it. What did they do? When the Catholic Church fought back effectively, they started to fight back, even if the Jews created that religion, which they did, but even if that's the case, it became an enemy about 800-900 years ago for sure. So what did they do? They infiltrated, like you said. They became priests. Now, let me throw this back at all of you. Instead of continually talking about what's happening, can we do the same? We've got guys out there, white guys, who unfortunately their parents had them clipped, and they look kind of Jewy. Would that be good to have them join a yeshiva? I want people to start thinking along these ways, these lines. What can we do using the same methods that the Jews do, or better methods? Anyway, I'll just leave it at that.
Hey, can I say something here, Richard, real quick?
Sure.
I think the key, you know, Dr. Slattery brought up a great point before the last break, and that was attacking the system on an economic level. I've called for a white strike for years, and people used to laugh at me, but I do see that right now as the best way moving forward. Look, 60% of the population, we are right now. If we got even 20% or 30% of that 60% of the population to have a white strike, boycotting companies, national strike, not show up to work for just 1 week, we could bring this thing down pretty rapidly, or at least it would be a show of force in a way that could not be denied. Who's going to drive the trucks? Who's going to deliver the food? You know, we do all of those things. We are the most reliable and productive segment of the population. White strike is the way to go. I believe it 100%, and that's what we need to be, in my opinion, really organizing around.
But okay. is that not infiltration?
If I could just add that, look at the big impact that the Yellow Jackets or the Yellow Vest movement in France had a couple of years ago, and that they didn't have clearly defined political objectives, but the methods is exactly that kind of, you know, economic demonstration of power.
Stephen, do you want to add anything?
Well, you know, I would hope that we could do that, but on the other hand, they do want to collapse things. It seems like that bringing down the U.S. system is kind of what they want. Maybe that would wake people up if we did that. To what's that? I don't know. I don't oppose that. It sounds like a good way to go. I don't know if the white folks would stand together and do that or not. But like you said, just 20-30% of us, that would be enough to make our point. It's like how many people participated in the American Revolution. You know, I've always heard the 3%. So it's possible, I think. And I don't know. We need a white Chabad. We need a white organization that looks out for each other, you know, and we don't have that. If you do that, you're racist. You know, you're a neo-Nazi. You are condemned, and people are afraid to do that and stand up for each other. I would agree that, you know, if only thing you're standing up for each other is because you're the same race, that can get hairy, because they're, you know, you gotta be careful of what you do. If it's like a knee-jerk reaction, that you know, but still, we got to stand together somehow, some way, and that could be a start. A white strike, yeah, that could be a start. Just spending your money in a small business instead of in a big box store. That I heard a guy talking about, he had needed a vacuum cleaner, so he went to a small vacuum cleaner shop to buy it this time instead of the big box store. Cost him maybe, you know, 10, 20 bucks more, but it was worth it because he was supporting this small business owner and a white guy at the time. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that we do need to do. But it's hard to get people to go into that, especially when hyperinflation is coming and you're going to have to, you know, your dollars are going to get a lot more precious. So, yeah, I hope that we can do that. I think that it's a possibility, but I'm kind of pessimistic too, just like Dr. Slattery said. I'm not real hopeful at this point, but I'm willing to give it my best effort anyway.
Okay. Well, thank you. Yeah, you're still on, Bob. You wanted to add?
Oh,
yeah,
something.
Yeah, please.
Yeah. Let me just make a point here. Now, the biggest problem we have in the United States is Christian Zionists. And I just mentioned infiltration and Mike Sledge, you know, yeah, absolutely, right on. But all of a sudden, we're not talking about infiltration anymore. How about infiltrating if we can't? I think we should have some of our guys getting into yeshivas if they can pass. But if that's too much, how about infiltrating the Christian Zionists and turning them? Get away from the slob Hagee and people like that. And this idea of strikes and everything, and it sounds like Ayn Rand's, is it John Galt? The character of,
yes,
Ayn Rand, who just went on strike, essentially. You know, it doesn't work.
Who is
because
John
it's
got to
be organized, and it's got to be broad. It's got to be a broad-based approach, and it ain't going to happen with these Christian Zionists.
No, I agree with you there. That's the place that we could easily, more easily anyway, infiltrate, is into some of these churches that are the 501c3s. I think that is a possibility. I might even try that. There's some big mega church, you know, mega churches around here. I used to attend one, you know, 15 years ago, and might try to do that. Actually, that is a good idea.
Okay, well, thank you, Bob. We have another caller. We're going to try to get to.
Okay, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks a lot,
Bob.
Yes, sir. And we have Michael in New York.
Yes. Good morning, gentlemen. You know, as far as trying to infiltrate, like, their schools or anything, yeah, that's going to be real difficult because they screen your genealogy, okay? They keep close track of that. They'll know if you're really not one of them, and they may bring you in just to handle you the way they want to, knowing who you really are, trying to infiltrate them. Now, you know, those kind of tactics are dancing around the problem. The problem is no law and order, no accountability. I don't care who they are. If they're in our government, supposedly under oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States, defend our country from all enemies, foreign and domestic, and they're not only failing in that, but they're assisting them, you arrest them for treason, sedition, you try them in court, and then you execute them, okay? Now, as all traitors would have been executed in the past. Now, of course, well, you know, the courts won't let that look at the election. Of course. So you arrest those judges. There has to be law and order. You can't have anything to occur positively for this country unless we establish law and order, which means accountability for everybody in politics, in business, no matter what it is. That's the only resolution to the dilemma our country faces. And is that going to happen? Hell no. At least it doesn't look like it right now, because you do need leadership. You need true leadership is someone with integrity, honor, and cannot be compromised. It's hard to find today, because they'll threaten you if you got a family. If you got the honor and the integrity, you can't be compromised, you got a family, well, guess who they're going, guess how they're going to get to you. So it's going to be real difficult to find somebody like that that can lead the way, but that's the answer to our dilemma, gentlemen.
Patrick, would you like to respond to that? Perhaps I picked Patrick at a bad time.
You know,
Mike?
Otherwise,
I think he might be.
Mike, would you like to add something?
Well, otherwise, you know, infiltrating, yes, infiltrating anything you can to take it over, business. Mm-hmm. When it comes to a big church, like the previous gentleman mentioned, I think the best thing to do is just boycott, wake up the sheeple attending and say, here's the real church over here, come here. Let them rot, let them collapse.
So creating a real church instead of a 501c3, but one that is, you know, telling the truth.
That's right.
I agree with what you're saying. We do live in an occupied country, basically. We are living under occupation, foreign occupation, and I think maybe looking along the tactics of people that have experienced similar things may be another avenue to explore.
Well, you know, this is where Trump really let us all down, because he campaigned on, along with everything, part of his agenda was bringing law and order, right? He'll bring
the
law
only
and
thing
order.
The only thing that he did was push back against the critical race theory. As far as everything he did in his speeches, was pushing, boasting about everything he did for the black community. So he never really went beyond that as far as some other aspects. I mean, well, at the time, sure, we had a little better situation with something like gas prices or supposed energy independence, allegedly. But for the most part, the economy has been, it's not quite as much on an inflation upward trend as it is now. Mike, do you want to respond to any of this?
Yeah, I mean, look. I don't think we have enough time for, you know, infiltration or trying to take over this Zog system that we live under. I think what we do have that we can accomplish in the near future is a new white labor movement in this country. You know, one of the reasons why the conservative wing, as I call it, the conservative side of the kosher sandwich there, destroyed, one of the reasons why they destroyed the labor movement in this country was because they knew that down the road, while they might have created it in the early stages, they knew down the road that the labor movement in this country could become a threat if white people organized around a new labor strategy. And I really do believe that is the key to really flexing and showing our strength right now, is to organize and to really put pressure on the system by our people striking, boycotting, hitting the Zog system where it hurts economically. And we can do that in a very short period of time, and I think it is a realistic goal to shoot towards. White strike, a new white labor movement, I think it's the way to go. And I think that would be the ultimate flex.
Okay. Patrick, are you back with us to comment? Or Stephen,
would
you like to?
Well, then, if I could just jump back in, gentlemen, and say that, you know, that's all possible, but your previous statement that we're running out of time is so spot on, okay? And the only solution, if we're going to turn this around, is law and order, gentlemen. Look, I'm talking law and order civilly, socially, economically, and politically, okay? It has to be law. Look, for example, men marrying men, et cetera, that's not part of law and order. That's deviating, sinning against the laws of nature, right? Law and order has to be established again throughout the whole reality of the world we live in. And men pretending to be women, competing in women's sports, that's obviously the ultimate in insanity. And so law and order has to be totally established if we're going to turn things around, because everything is bigger than just man, or the problems man is experiencing in our country and around the planet. You got volcanoes blowing everywhere. You got major storms, earthquakes all over the place. Mother Nature is very unbalanced because of the way we've been treating her and the way man's living. There's no law and order. Nature is law and order. You live out in nature, and you see nothing but law and order. Occasional some craziness, but generally speaking, through over time, it's law and order. And that's what our Constitution, that's what civilization has always been emanating from, law and order.
Right.
We cannot allow, we can't just allow this to go on anymore if we're really going to turn it around.
All right. No, good points. Yeah, thank you. We have another caller to get to, but no, a lot of good points there. Thanks, Michael. I mean, unless you wanted to comment on that, Patrick, before we go to the next caller.
I'm always too far away from my my mute button. No, let's go to the next caller. We're running out of time.
All right, all right. We have Kazone in Georgia. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, guys. K-Zone, yeah. Hey, appreciate y'all holding these panels, and I certainly appreciate talking about nature and law and order, that sort of thing. And I'm kind of more interested in solutions, as y'all were talking about earlier. I feel like there's really no political solution, at least on the federal level here, that that's available to us, just because everything's so controlled. So one of the things that Mike said a few months ago, Mike Sledge said on one of his shows that has stuck with me for months now, is, you know, find places that are friendly to your beliefs, and if you can, move there. And, you know, Mike and I are both in Georgia, and I'm sure you're seeing this, Mike. I'm seeing this here. People are just flocking out to the country, out to nature, as you spoke of earlier. And I think that, you know, I think that a very large swath of the population, even in the country, people are moving here from different states. Because if you, you know, if you were to order the states in terms of tyranny, Georgia's probably less tyrannical than most. So to me, you know, getting back to nature, getting more, I hate to use the left word, but sustainable, in your own family, and be able to provide your own, you know, basic needs, food, water, shelter, that sort of thing. Because I think that's what's going to be important in the near future. That, hard assets, and by that I mean, like, you know, crops, fuel, transportation, things like that, and then networking with like-minded individuals in your immediate area. Because eventually I think, you know, these communications, I'm worried about the communications getting taken down. Internet, phone, this kind of stuff. You saw what happened to the Colonial Pipeline, how fragile the gas supply is. And, you know, I actually work in that industry. So, and people freak out. So I just think that assessing your basic needs and making sure you have those in order is of utmost importance right now. And then you build out from there.
All right.
Anyway, your comments would be much appreciated.
All right. Thank you. Next, we have Dave in Michigan. And we have another caller after you to try to get to. Dave, keep it to a minute or so due to us running short on time.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for filling in for Farron. I do appreciate that. You know, I think there's only one solution, folks, to this problem that we've been facing for a couple hundred years, almost 150 years, right, since really before the Civil War. We the people. That's the first branch of government. The grand jury, that's the second branch of government. Michigan has formed an assembly in 2010. And, you know, I don't know, it may not be perfect, but it's the only thing we got. And if we don't assemble, right, as a people and start doing the work of the people, it's over.
What's that website? Yeah, I've heard you call in before. What is your there's a website, right, Dave?
The website is national-assembly.net. That's okay. national-assembly.net. There's a welcome tab. Click on that. There's some Red Beckman videos. Watch them. They're very, very self-explanatory. And then there's only 10 steps to forming an assembly. This is all constitutional. This was formed by a brigadier general, an admiral, and a colonel in 2010. We've been visited by, you know, alphabet agencies. They're not, nobody's in jail. We're not doing nothing wrong. This is all constitutional, and I do know that the military is working with the leadership since 2010. And, you know, we are working towards, you know, becoming we the people again. That's the goal.
Okay.
We
all right,
have
thank
to
you.
Do this. You go ahead and check out the website. There's forums for every state. We've got about 30 states forming assemblies right now. So
okay.
We got Thursday
right.
night calls, and it's all there on the website. Thank you very much.
I appreciate that. Another similar organization for assembling folks, peoplesrights.org, peoplesrights.org. Might want to check that out. Ammon Bundy is affiliated with it. Art in Georgia, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I heard Michael talking about some various different... Just kind of want to add to what he said. There's a video that's out there. And if you can find it, it's not that hard to find. It's called They Tried to Warn Us. Apostrophe. This 1983 video reveals everything happening. That's the title of the video. You can find it on YouTube. Not hard to find. But he mentioned six different things that need to be targeted and basically disabled for all, to keep it simple. And these six things are, I need that so I don't get in the background, are religion. Look at what they've done to the church over the past 20 years. Education. Look at the education system. Social. Look at our social life now. What has our social life become?
You seem to be cutting out a little bit.
Power
there,
structure.
There, but...
Look at our, huh?
Oh, no, no, I get all your points, and yeah, no, you make some good points. You're starting to cut out a little, and it looks
okay.
Like you're also just about out of time coming on the music to close
all
us
right,
out,
so
sir.
Power structure. So you have religion, social life, power structure, labor
okay.
relations.
All right, thank you. All right,
and law
I appreciate
and order.
The call. Okay. All right, appreciate the call. Please call again, sir. And yeah, we won't be filling in until Farron returns. Patrick, Mike, Stephen, any last word? But thank you all for being here.
Thanks for having me, gentlemen. It was good to be with you. I look forward to doing this in the future. I just, y'all be good to each other this week. You know, do the next right thing. That's all any of us can do at this point, I think. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Richard. I enjoyed it. Big fan of what you guys do over here at RBN, and I look forward to talking with y'all more in the future. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that sounds great. And thank you, Patrick, as well. Everyone, be sure to check out Patrick's show, National Bugle Radio, 1 p.m. Monday through Friday, 1 p.m. Central. My show, Beyond the Official Narrative, just before it, at noon Central, Monday through Friday. We'll be back next week until filling in for Farron until he returns. Have a great weekend, folks. Regards.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party property, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.